Lord is with thee.
Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. I am become all things to all men, that I might gain all for Christ. St. Francis Xavier, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today is the feast day of St. Francis Xavier. He was declared by Pope St. Pius X to be the patron saint of the missions. And he is in a special way the patron saint of the Far East, India, and of Japan, and of China. Now, usually, children, in these little daily sermons, I almost always address myself to you very little ones. But with the permission this morning of the Munchkin Brigade, I'm going to speak to some of the older students in the back and in the front here, some of our young ladies and young men. I noticed this week that you are studying Ivanhoe by Walter Scott. And that comes to mind because today's saint is a saint who was so great, so greatly gifted by God, and who took everything that he had to give God glory. He was a true Jesuit and a saved soul, that even Protestant, anti-Catholic, apostate Catholics like the poet John Donne were full of admiration of him. And yet, partly because of his temperament and partly because of his great sanctity, St. Francis Xavier didn't consider himself, nor probably did his family and his close contemporaries, they didn't consider him to be or to be a success. He was rather thought to be a failure. And he was one of the greatest men, the naturalists would tell you that, and one of the greatest saints, the church tells you that, of all ages, St. Francis Xavier. Now, with Father Romola, you older students have been studying the classical art of what we call the four temperaments. And we talked about that in religion class the other day. St. Francis Xavier is said to have been of a sanguine temperament, which is interesting to put that into your thoughts as you're considering this question of getting to know yourself and getting to know your personality, your strong points and your weak points, so as to use all of you for God's glory, young men and young ladies, that sanguine, that was our saint. Francis Xavier. High-strung, they say he was. This is Archbishop Goodyear, who was a great Jesuit missionary and writer. He suffered from strong reactions. He was endowed with talents and gifts beyond the ordinary, weighed down with the littleness of men around him, who blocked his way at every turn. St. Francis Xavier was a man of broad horizons and boundless ambition. He seemed forever tempted, however, to despair and to depression and to surrender every task he undertook. The real greatness of the man must lie surely in this, that what he did in spite of every discouragement from without and from within, and that he died with his eyes stretched forward to China to get a further horizon, counting everything that he had done so far as nothing, and probably counting it as a failure. Everything that St. Francis Xavier did or could have done, he was a tremendous success at. He was a man of such great talent, such a wonderful winning personality, so intelligent. He could understand the situation right away, and he knew exactly what to do to get the best out of it for God's glory and to save souls. Yet, by God's will, he never got a chance to do too much for too long. He was always being changed by his superiors, by God himself inspiring him, or by others, especially when he became a religious, a member of the Society of Jesus, a Jesuit father. His family were on the wrong side. They were Basques. Basques are different people from a different background in northern Spain. And they were on the wrong side of the Battle of Pamplona. They sided with the French, and they lost almost everything that they had. although they were noble, they couldn't do too much for him. He was the youngest son. So he may have liked to be a soldier. He probably would have been a converted soldier in general. But he ended up being sent to the university in Paris, and he did very well in his studies, and he became a philosopher. And he was just about to be offered a wonderful position with lots of possibilities in the academic world when he got a new roommate whose name was Inigo Ignatius of Loyola. He also was a Basque. And Inigo got talking to him one day, and he said, Francis, he said, quoting our Lord, what would it profit you if you gained the whole world, meaning you could be a great academic or teacher, but you suffer the loss of your soul? And it got him thinking. So he was one of the original seven who went to the Mount of the Martyrs, Montmartre, in Paris, and took their original vows with Ignatius of Loyola, the foundation of the great Jesuit order. Then they had this idea that maybe they should go to the Holy Land and preach. And they ended up going to Venice, and there they were ordained priests, and they never made it to the Holy Land. But in the meantime, St. Francis was very penitential and very prayerful. And he thought for a while he really needed to be a contemplative, a monk, a hermit. And St. Ignatius had to do everything he could to persuade him. No, that wasn't God's will for him. Then as a priest, he was in the city of Bologna for a while. And he was such a great preacher. He reformed everybody. He reformed the bishops and the priests and the lay people. Got everybody to be good in short order. So everybody said, well, now that's the job this priest needs to do. But then everyone was surprised when St. Ignatius said, no, I need you to be my secretary. So he left everything, and he was the secretary to St. Ignatius to help him to write the rules or the constitution of the Jesuit order. And then, from one day to the next, literally, he had to leave his job as a secretary to St. Ignatius and go to see the King of Portugal about going to the missions in India. And he obeyed instantly, as usual. Then the king had some different ideas, and it took the king a long time to decide what to do with him. But finally, he sent him to Goa as his personal representative and the representative of the Pope. And there he found a terrible situation, that everybody being very bad, and the Portuguese giving a very bad example. And he did everything they could to reform them and to start training a native clergy of Indians. He was very successful at that, but everybody resisted him. So he kept on going. He didn't just stay where he was in Goa, which is on the west coast of India. He went from one village to another, and there he had his own special little technique. He would get the young people sort of hanging around. He would get them on his side. He would teach them music, little ditties to sing, and teach them the basics of the faith. And then pretty soon he got the whole village. And once the village knew the basics of the creed, he would baptize the village. Sometimes so many people would he baptize that his arm would be sore by the end of the day. And then he would pray almost all night long. And then the next day he would go on. He went to cut a swath across India, and then he went to Japan. It was a great success in Japan. Only people didn't really realize it. And then he went back to India because he was having all sorts of problems there with the Jesuits. And then he was going to go to China, but he died all by himself and alone and abandoned by everyone. And in a way, because he was constantly doing different things his whole life long and never staying too long at any one job, in a way it seemed like he wasn't successful. But yet everybody is full of praise for so great a saint, with a sanguine character, his faults as well as his good points, as each of us has, which he entirely consecrated on Maiorem Dei Gloria. You Latin students will know that means to the greater glory of God. He is our saint today, the patron saint of missionaries, a saint who wasn't too much appreciated. If you want to say what St. Francis Xavier truly was, you would say two things, probably, children. You would say he was a saint who knew himself, and he took every talent that God had given him for God's greater honor and glory. And he was a saint, most of all, of obedience. He never did his own will. He did what God wanted him to do. So here he is having the best time with his dear friends, his very close friends, St. Ignatius, and they were writing away, well, let's make this a rule, and no, this isn't so good, let's change that. And the next day, St. Ignatius says, St. Francis Xavier, go to see the King of Portugal. I need you to go to India. He lays down his pen and he obeys. Just like that. What a superhuman effort He was truly a saint. And God rewarded his sanctity by giving him the grace to have laid the foundations of the church and to have saved thousands and thousands of souls of pagans from damnation. He brought them in to the ark of salvation, the Catholic Church. That's our saint today. Resolution, you older students, continue with your study of the sacraments. See where you fit into that and how you can use your talents and correct your faults to save souls and to use the opportunities our Lord gives you and will give you your whole life long. And for all of us, let's be obedient. For some of you, let's be obedient for a change. Let's start to be obedient, shall we? The obedient man, Scripture says, shall speak of victory. No matter what other people have to say, that will soon be forgotten. But what God has to say, his victory goes to the obedient. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.